喂呀呦，喂呀呀哟，喂呀呦呦，
William Clark, January 1st, 1805, Fort Mandan. The day was ushered in by the discharge of two cannon. We suffered 16 men with their music to visit the first village for the purpose of dancing.
Welcome to Wisdom of the Elders. I'm Arlie Neskai. Winter in the Northern Plains comes early and stays long. The people of the villages usually go to winter camps built of temporary earth lodges in sheltered areas away from the open river. But this year, the people wanted to stay together in the larger summer quarters. October 1804. After 5 months of arduous travel, the Corps of Discovery established their winter camp just south of the five Mandan and Hidatsa villages. These villages lay north of today's Bismarck in central North Dakota. The first two villages were Mandan, each one holding about 40 or 50 earth lodges. The next three villages belonged to the Minnetaree, also known as the Hidatsa. Both tribes grew corn, squash, and beans on the rich Missouri floodlands. They also hunted buffalo, and Hidatsa raided across the plains to the Rockies. The Mandan and Hidatsa villages formed the most important trading center on the northern plains, attracting Assiniboine and Cree from the north, Cheyenne and Crow from the west. The visiting tribes exchanged buffalo meat, horses, British guns, and metal goods for the villagers' agricultural produce. Hidatsa tribal historian Calvin Grinnell.
We're the first, people say, first Walmart in the northern plains. We had a nice, huge trade network that took advantage of our strategic location, not only on the Missouri River, but we were within easy reach of the French and English traders from the Northeast, the Hudson's Bay Company and the Northwest Company, who came to trade with our people.
On February 11, 1805, a woman lay in painful labor. Captain Lewis gave the woman a dose of crushed snake rattle to speed the birth. Within 10 minutes, a male child was born, Jean-Baptiste Charbonneau. Eventually, becoming a favorite of Captain Clark, the boy was nicknamed Pomp. The mother was married to a French trader named Charbonneau. Her name was Sacagawea to the Hidatsa. She was extremely helpful in recognizing natural food sources, pointing out significant landmarks, interpreting to the Shoshone, and remaining calm in times of difficulty. But more than anything, the presence of a mother and child in the corps acted as a symbol to Indians that they were a peaceful party. On New Year's Day, 1805, a group of corpsmen visited the first Mandan village to celebrate. Historian James Ronda.
On New Year's, they organize these parties of men. They go off and dance and sing and visit and feast for two, perhaps even three, really glorious days.
Led by Pierre Crozat and his fiddle, the corpsmen entered the village playing sounding horns, jews harps, and tambourines. Francois Vervet danced on his hands, and the Mandans gathered around, laughing and singing. Soon, the Americans were invited into the lodges for food and given gifts of buffalo robes.
And I really do think that's one of those moments of sharing and of common ground. I think it's a particularly wonderful moment.
I'm Arlie Neskai, and this is Wisdom of the Elders. Loss is inevitable, whether it's a childhood home, a favorite relative, even a traditional name. Mandan Hidatsa elder Edwin Benson says memories can restore people, places, and even a person's cultural identity. On today's Elder Wisdom, Brian Bull has more.
Edwin Benson is a survivor, and he helps the language, history, and culture the Mandan Hidatsa people survive as well. In his 70s, Benson has said goodbye to many people and things in his life, but he isn't ready to bid farewell to his traditions, particularly his language. He visits school children and history buffs far from his home in Holiday, North Dakota. A short, stocky man with a love for horses and storytelling, Benson is regarded as one of the very last tribal members fluent in his native tongue. Benson says it all started at home.
My grandfather was a full-blood Mandan, spoke the Mandan language. Later in years, he was able to speak both languages. So when my dad left at the home place while the older sister and brother left for boarding school, everything at home was all the Mandan language, or known as the Nu'eta language. The translation of it is one of us, but then they translate it into English, saying, we the people.
Life challenged Benson early on in his childhood. Between 1933 and 1939, he lost his mother, sister, and grandfather. But even when things disappear, there are almost always traces. Footprints, echoes, and memories can connect a person back to a lost time. And Benson finds his thoughts going back a lot towards his grandfather. Benson recalls how the missionary movement affected his grandfather's traditions. One was a practice similar to today's Sundance rituals, an intense prayer ceremony done every year by the Mandan. Participants pray for a plentiful supply of buffalo and for abundant rainfall to replenish the grass the herds depend on. Sometimes, in response to a vision or dream, they pierce their chests or backs as part of the ceremony.
The Mandans had okipenape, similar to something like that. I seen scars on his back where he has pierced until that priest told him that day, you shouldn't do that, you know, that Christ died on the cross for your sins and mine. And so that he changed his Indian spirituality into a Christian life, and that's kind of what he really stood to. Some of the things he said to me, someday people might ask you to do a prayer or to call on you for something, anything, and you don't turn them down. You want to do as much and help as much as you can. And I said, that's why I say some of the things he said, I still run on to them yet today.
Benson's grandfather celebrated many parts of his culture and preserved them for his family. Benson shares a Mandan Hidatsa legend about his people that his grandpa shared with him when he was a youngster.
There were two ladies out picking berries, young girls traveling down the path or a little trail or something, and they saw a porcupine sitting at the top of the tree there. And one of the girls says, I want to go up there, take that porcupine down. We'll skin him out or cinch it, and then we'll cook him up this evening. Partner says, okay, go ahead. This girl went up the tree. She was really spry, like I said she was going up. And when she get up close to that porcupine, the tree would grow a little bit longer, and the porcupine was going up higher and higher, and pretty soon the other partner, looking way up there real high, and said, you're getting too far up there, she said. Let it go. You come back down. No, she said, I got a little more ways to go. I'll be able to get it. Pretty soon, the girl and the porcupine and the tree, they went out of sight into the blue skies. Clear out of sight. And then she wound up in the high heavens. And there she met the sun and the moon. Well, she married the moon. And the girl had a boy. And he would go out and hunt and bring in whatever the game was. He took this young boy out when he was 4 or 5 years old, and he came to a rock. Son, he said, you see that rock there? And he said, yeah. He said, don't you move that. Don't ever bother with that. I don't want you touching that rock. He said, all right. He never paid much attention. And then they went on, and he taught him how to shoot a bow and arrow and all that stuff. His dad left for hunting, and this little boy, like kids will do, he was naughty anyway. This little boy walked over to this rock. That's the first place he went. and he grabbed this rock and he pulled it over. When he pulled that rock over, he could see what's down here on Earth. Deer, elk, all the wild game, and people walking around. And he sees it very enjoyable, the trees and the rivers and all. It was very nice. He pushed that rock back and he ran back to his mother. Told his mother, he said, "Dad told me not to move that rock." So I wondered why, so I went and moved it. And his mother said, "Why did you move it?" "Well, what did you see when you moved that rock?" He said, "It's nice down there, there's people there." "Son," she said, "that's where I come from. That's where I belong. That's where I'm from." And the little boy said, "Mother," he said, "I want to go down there. Let's go back to your people, down there to the earth." Well, she said, "Okay. But," she said, "you have to get, when your dad goes hunting, when he comes back, you tell him you want to get sinew. Ask for the sinew. You want to do something with it. Don't tell him what it's for, though." So every time his dad would come back, he'd take the sinew. You take all that sinew to the spider, and they can make a long, you know, they're great for making webs, you know. You ask that spider to make a long string braided together, and it'll reach to the earth, and then we'll go from there, and we'll go back down. "Okay, now we're ready. Let's go," he said. She packed him on her back, and they went down that rope. Went way down. In the meantime, the father, he come back from hunting. He said, "I told that boy not to. No, I better go check." He said, "Sure enough, he went, that rock was laying to the one side." I said, "Yeah, exactly what they did. He peeked, and they were hanging way down there." So that rock that they moved, this moon went and picked it up, and he rubbed it and made a trail for that rock to follow that rope all the way down. And he said, "You go hit that woman on the head. Don't hit my boy, though. Don't kill my boy, but you kill that woman." So that rock went down, slid, and hit that woman on the head. Killed her, and they dropped to the ground. And they say, actually, that happened right down here, about 7 miles downstream here. Now they use that as a symbol of a naughty boy.
Benson wants people to find relevance and meaning in all things. He knows the power of memory, which keeps traditions alive through generations. Today, Benson works at the University of North Dakota in preserving the Mandan language, one of the cultural treasures he shares with tribal children across the region. He hopes young people hang on to their customs, even as the world around them changes at a blurring pace. For Wisdom of the Elders, I'm Brian Bull.
Brian Bull is Assistant News Director for Wisconsin Public Radio and is an enrolled member of the Nez Perce tribe. He lives with his wife, 2 kids, and 3 cats in Madison, Wisconsin. Coming up, in Sacred Landscape, Judy Bluehurst Skelton explores the woman's role in Hidatsa and Mandan gardening. And in Tribal Rhythms, Nico Nguyen visits with Hidatsa songkeeper Alex Nguyen.
And seldom we are acknowledged for our name, but by our deeds. And we're not acknowledged or recognized by our talk, but by the trail we leave in life.
Stay with us. I'm Arlie Neskai, and this is Wisdom of the Elders.
Now I'll show you really what you learn to teach, teach a mighty, 'cause I hope you learn.